You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Right, man, can I just say it is so bittersweet. Man, I love seeing y'all's faces, but I hate that this is our last night. Anybody with me? Is it just me? No? Okay, so a couple of you. Man, I love, I say this all the time, my favorite night of the week is Wednesday night. It just brings me so, minus Sunday morning, right? Like Sunday morning, but then Wednesday night as well. I love being here with you, worshiping alongside you, and then having a time where we just get to dive into the Word. Hey, do we have any game show fans in here? Any game show fans? Okay, a lot of you know. That's fine. So I grew up on a show called Family Feud. Family Feud? Yeah. Somebody said same. Yeah. Well, you're too young for Family. You probably watched the reruns. No, I'm just kidding. Family Feud. Actually, me and my wife recently got, more me than her, recently got into like a mobile app version of Family Feud. And now it's all I play. And it's a real problem. Right now I have 5 tickets to use. So that's what I'll be doing after this, is playing some Family Feud. I thought, if you don't know how Family Feud works, it's a game show where basically they ask a question and they survey 100 people and they say, what is your answer to this question? And it is the game show contestants' job to collectively figure out what was the answer of the 100 people. And so I thought we'd play a version of that tonight. I want to know, what do you think the top 5 reasons people are tired are? What do you think the top 5 reasons? Emery, kids? Okay, let me specify teenagers. Let's do that. Teenagers. What do you think? Huh? Boom. One answer. Lack of sleep. I love it. Right here. School is not one of them. I'm sorry. School is a part of a reason, but it's more broad than that. What's up? Yeah. That darn phone. Absolutely. Hey, before we continue, I did forget about this. We have notepads to take notes on. If you would like a notepad, go ahead and slip your hand up. We'll bring that around to you. I know some of you had your hand up to answer the question. If you're answering the question, put your hand down. And then if you want a notepad, put your hand up. Let's do that. Okay, cool. We can just kind of sit here for a little bit. So. But yes, 2 of the answers were, one was lack of sleep. The other one is overuse of screens, or I like how you put it, those darn phones. All right, what else? What else? What do you think? Huh? Work? Work is not one of them. Sports? Sports is not one of them. Staying up all night playing video games? I'd put that in lack of sleep. No. Huh? Mental health was one of them. They kind of put it in a category of like poor nutrition. So yeah, mental health being a part of that as well. Actually, wait, no, I just gave you an answer. Mental health would go more with stress and anxiousness. And so stress and anxiousness was one, and poor nutrition of not like just eating crap, basically, eating bad things. And then there was one more. I don't think anybody's probably going to get this. Huh? That would go into mental health as well. So I'll tell you the last one. The last one was just laziness, like being lazy in the sense of not doing things that are productive, just kind of sitting around, watching TV, you know, not touching grass, whatever you want to say. That was a part of it. So here's my question. Who in here would say, Nate, I am tired? One of those 5 things are happening in my life, or maybe another, and I'm exhausted. Man, a lot of you don't have your hands up, and honestly, good for you. Can I tell you, when I was in your age, I was 100% in your boat and in that boat of, man, I was, especially towards the end of a semester, it was like, man, with tests and with sports and with hobbies and with church, like it just felt like everything was stacking up. And when I remember when school ended and it was like the next day, I was like, wait, I don't have to wake up at 8 a.m. Or actually I had to be at school. So I don't have to wake up 6:30, 7 o'clock, whatever. Like, I remember just going like, oh, thank you. Right. Like, it's weird. Like, you go 100 miles an hour and then it just stops. I mean, it just stops on a dime. And so, man, I wanted to really play with that of, man, I know whether you raise your hand or not, man, many of us in here are very tired, maybe tired physically, but in a lot of ways, probably tired mentally and tired emotionally, and just have a tired presence. And if we were honest, everyone in this room would say, Nate, I want rest. I want rest. And what's really cool is that the Bible actually talks in a beautiful passage about rest, about what does rest look like, and not just rest how we might think of it, but a rest that each and every one of us need, and a rest that each and every one, if we were honest, really, really want. So we're going to be in Matthew 11. If you brought a Bible, awesome. If not, there's a Bible under your chair. Feel free to pick that up. Matthew 11. Matthew is part of the New Testament, and Matthew is also one of the Gospels. And what the Gospels are the story of the life of Jesus, the life of his birth, the life of his life, the life of his ministry, and then also the telling of his death and ultimate resurrection. And so we are in Matthew 11, which is kind of halfway through, a little bit on the front side of Matthew. And this is actually Jesus speaking. And it comes right after he had to deal with people questioning him, and really just, I think as he would just, I don't know if he would put it this way, people annoying him, like people trying to catch him, hurt him, whatever. And so he says this, picking up in verse 25. He said, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your glorious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Pause right here. So we're in this time where Jesus looks and he goes, man, I'm thankful that you have, Father, God, you have given understanding and wisdom to the humble and the lowly, and you have withheld it from the boastful and the high and mighty, the people that are on their high horse. And then he goes, and ultimately you have given it to me to decide who knows you. So Jesus is standing here and in a way boasting about how he is the key to salvation. He is saying, you have given me the keys, Father, to help other people see that only through me can they be in a perfect relationship with you once again. I say once again, because if this is your first time hearing it, awesome, but you'll probably have heard me say this before, of we were created in a perfect with perfect reason, and to be in a perfect relationship with God, us, his creation, him, our creator. We mess that up through our mistakes. We mess that up through what we call our sins, our brokenness, our times where we chase after what we want rather than what he wants. And we're sitting there and Jesus is saying, it is only through me that you can come back into perfect relationship with God. And he says it in a way of saying, it's up to me to choose. It's up to me. He's sitting in the middle saying, I get to decide if you're going to know him or not. Now, listen, we know the end of the story, but I think if we just paused here and acted like we didn't, this is a very harsh moment. This is a very tense moment. It's almost, think about it this way, it's almost as if your teacher caught you cheating and is sitting there with you before him saying, I decide if you pass this class or not. It's up to me. And you don't know what the answer is. He has full right to tell you, you fail. But if he would like to, he could also tell you, I'm going to forgive you and you're going to pass. That's where Jesus is. And the question that is now on our minds, the question that would be on the reader's minds is, what's he going to do with that power? How's he going to respond to us? He responds this way. Verse 28, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's sitting here with this power to tell us yes or no, and his response is, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Listen, you might go, Nate, I don't know what that means. Like, what is it to labor or heavy laden? I thought about it this way. He's looking at you in your eyes saying, come to me if you are burdened. Come to me if you are struggling. Come to me if you are hurt. Come to me if you are tired, if you are anxious, if you are stressed, if you are angry, if you are scared. Come to me. Come all. Why come to him? Because I will give you rest. It says, I will give you rest. If you just come to me with all the labor, all the heaviness, all the burdens, all the struggles, all the hurts, if you come to me, I will give you rest. What's really cool is you can look through the Bible, because it was not written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew. And so you can look at those words and see, what does it literally mean? And this word rest has also been translated, I will put a cease to. I will stop it. So in a sense, he is saying, if you are hurt, if you're anxious, if there is something wrong in your life, if you need help, come to me and I will stop it. I will help you. I will put a cease to your struggle. I'll put a cease to your burden, to your hurt, to your tiredness, to your anxious, to your stress, your anger, your fear. I will put a stop to it. How? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus saying this, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So, hey, come to me and I will give you rest. Well, how are you going to give me rest? Well, you're going to get rest. We're going to get rest by taking Jesus's yoke upon us. What does that mean? I'm sure a lot of you are like, man, I know what a yoke is. I use it every day. Man, a yoke in this sense is a metaphor. And it would have been a very common metaphor for them. Like I think of it for our day, like common metaphors of like, I'm drowning in homework. What does that mean? I have a lot of homework, right? Like I'm overwhelmed with homework. Or this is one of my favorites. That person's a walking red flag. Yeah. That means like, don't go near them. Like, don't talk to them. It won't end well for you, right? You guys understand that when I say that person's a walking red flag, I didn't have to explain that, right? This one's a little bit out of date, but I love it. Those shoes are fire. You know, like that means those are really good. Like you would say to me, Nate, those shoes are fire. Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, man. That means a lot to me. Those metaphors make sense to you. I didn't have to explain it, right? Like those shoes are fire would mean, man, those are really cool shoes. That's how the readers would have read this. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, what he is saying is, take my burden upon you. Hey, if you don't want a burden anymore, great, give it to me and take mine on. Take my burden, or in a sense, take my instructions. Take what I'm going to tell you and do it. Take my yoke upon you. I don't know about you, when I hear somebody go, hey, I will make you burdenless, and I go, how? And they say, by giving you my burdens. I don't know if I would trust that person, right? Like that's a little crazy. That doesn't make sense. But Jesus tells us why, because he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. Fun fact, this is the only place in scripture that God, Jesus being the Son of God, ever describes who he is at heart, meaning who he is at the core of who he is. That this thing, his gentleness and his lowliness, describes and impacts everything else that he is. Think of it this way. God's goodness is defined by the fact that he is gentle and lowly. God's love is defined by the fact that he is gentle and lowly. God's forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, all these things, his justice, his holiness are all defined by the fact that he is gentle and lowly at heart. When Jesus says that I am gentle, what he is saying is, I see your struggles and I'm here for you. I see what you're going through and I'm here for you. I think about it this way. I know I've hit you with a lot of analogies. I'm going to hit you with some more. Has anybody ever known somebody or maybe is an owner of a animal that had a bullied past, of like an animal that went through struggles from their previous owners. In this sense, we are the bullied animal. We are coming to Jesus saying, I'm hurt. I don't trust well. I'm shy. I've gone through a troubled past. And Jesus is the new owner saying, come to me. I'm here. I'm not going to treat you how the person before treated you. I'm not going to treat you the way the world treats you, the way your friends treat you. Come to me because I am gentle. I'm here for you. His lowliness is the fact that he is near. It is saying, I am not a far off God. I am not sitting somewhere in my on my high and mighty chair in my palace, looking down on the world saying, they've got to get better. He is saying, I'm here. I'm lowly. I'm with you. I am among you. This is the heart of God that describes everything. The fact that he welcomes you in his gentleness, and he is near to you in his lowliness. And he says, if you do this, you will find rest for your souls. I don't know about you, but this is not a rest of, hey, I'm going to give you a good 8 hours of sleep. This is a deep rest, a rest that is transcendent. A rest that says you will never need another type of rest. I'm not saying you'll never need sleep. Sleep, it's a good thing. But as a sense of this rest will be with you in all places. When you're asleep and when you're awake, you will always have a spirit that is rested. He continues to describe why we should take on his yoke as we finish in verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, give me your burdens. Give me what you bring to the table, which is hard and heavy and tough, and take on what I have for you, which he describes as easy and light. Another word used here for easy is good. He is saying, hey, follow my instructions. Why? Because they're good instructions. I'm not going to instruct you or tell you to do something that is bad for you. I'm going to tell you and instruct you to do what is the right way to live. And then he says, my burdens are light. Listen, I think it's very, very clear that we need to make this expression. Being a follower of Jesus is not easy. And I don't want to lie to you and say that it is. So then how is he going to tell me that the burdens of being a Christian is light? Because I don't know about you, it's heavy to me sometimes to follow Jesus, to deny myself and do what he would rather me do. That's hard. Here's what I think Jesus is meaning in this moment. He is saying, my burden is light compared to the reward that you receive from doing it. Hey, following me is easy when you realize that the reward of following me is eternity and goodness and bliss with me. If you were here last week, we talked a lot about that. If you weren't here last week, man, we have a podcast where we record all of our messages. Go check it out. We talked a lot about eternity and forever and what that looks like. But that's the reward. What we talked about is the reward. And he's saying, following me is nothing compared to what you're about to get because of it. That would be like your mom saying, hey, clean your room. If you do, I'll give you $1 million. I don't know about you. I hate cleaning my room, especially when I was growing up. But if my mom said, I'll give you $1 million, that's the easiest cleaning job I've ever, I would be scrubbing the baseboards. It would be a professional cleaning job, like, because it's so easy compared to the reward. And that's what Jesus is telling us right now. The hardships of following me are so light compared to the reward that you're going to receive. I'll be honest, this is my favorite passage in Scripture. That's why we're spending a lot of time in it. I love what Jesus tells us here. But today, I want us to take a couple things from it. So if you're taking notes, this is where you're going to really get a bulk of it. I want us to talk about two sections, two types of rest, if you will, of what we need and what we receive in Christ. First, physical rest. So we talked about it. We need rest. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Well, part of it is following him actually gives us physical rest. Hear me say this. You were made for rest. I think sometimes we fall into this lie that busyness is better. Like, if I'm busy, that means I'm important. That means my life is awesome. That's not necessarily true. Busyness isn't always better because we were people created to rest. We said this at the beginning. This is not necessarily talking about sleep. Like, I'm not telling you that following Jesus is going to allow you to sleep for 24 straight hours. Although some of you, after your weeks and after your school, may want to sleep for 24 hours. And you might do that. And good for you. But this is a different type of rest. And following Jesus actually calls us to do different things in our restful manner physically. And here are three tips that I want to give you about having physical rest this summer. First, spend time with your families. Spend time with your family. This is the best time in your life to do it because it's the freest you will ever be to do it. Me and my wife, we moved here from Tennessee 2 years ago, and my family, both of our families visit. Mine visit quite frequently, but listen to me. No matter how frequently they visit, I'll never be as close to them as I was when I was living in their house. I'll never be as close to my mom as I was when I was in high school and fully dependent on her to drive me places. Man, summer is a moment where you get to step back and just take a breath, spend it wisely, and part of spending it wisely is spending time with your family. It is a restful thing to do. Second, get off your darn phone. Get off your phone. Listen to me. The amount of time in your life and really time of your day that you spend doing this is unhealthy. And I know a lot of us, when we don't have something to do, when we're bored, this is the first thing we do. Can I tell you, it is the biggest false whatever that this is restful. This is a false sense of rest. Getting on your phone leaves you more tired by the end of it than when you started. Get off your phone. Here's just some two practical advice about that. Put a limit on how much time you can spend on social media. I know so many of you, social media is the thing. If it's not social media, put a limit on whatever you spend your phone time on your phone doing. If it's a Netflix, put a limit on it. If it's a game, put a limit on it. Maybe put a limit on how much you can have your phone in your hand. And then second, do not sleep in the same room with your phone. That's the worst time to have your phone because that's when you're doing nothing else other than trying to sleep. Let's do this. Raise your hand if your phone is the last thing you touch before you go to bed. Man, I'm proud of this. This section had none. That's a lie, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you're telling the truth. You are. That's awesome. Man, don't sleep with your phone in the same room. It only leads to bad decisions and you stay up later and you lose sleep. Lastly, spend time at church. Spend time at church. Listen, we want you here, and I'm telling you, it's good that you're here. And I know that you're like, Nate, how does any of this have to do with physical rest? I'm telling you, these things will give you more rest than sleeping might. To be with your family, to get off your phone, and to spend time here. Hey, tonight we're going to hand these out, but we want to let you know what we're doing here at church. And so we have our whole summer calendars. It should be popping up for you, did it? There it goes. Man, we're going to hand these out at the end. We want you to just put this on your fridge. This is everything that we're going to be doing this summer as a ministry outside of Sunday mornings. Man, if you don't spend time at church on Sunday mornings, man, I cannot tell you how good of a thing it is. We do small groups at 11 o'clock. If you've never been, we would love to have you. It's a great thing. We end Wednesdays now, but Sunday mornings go on every single week. We are not done with those. So I know you're looking at these a lot. I promise you'll get one so you can look at it later as well. So that's physical rest. Now, one more thing, and then we're going to get out of here. not only physical rest is what Jesus gives us by following him, but he also gives us spiritual rest. He gives you spiritual rest, and he wants you to have spiritual rest as a Christian. And how you have spiritual rest, I put into 2 points. First, give God your burdens. Give God your burdens. Go to him. When you have a struggle, when you are walking through a hard time, when you're walking through a temptation, or you have just fallen, or something in your life has happened that is rough, whether it's a family member or an argument with a friend or a breakup, no matter what, go to God. He wants you to bring him your struggles. He wants you to bring him your anxieties. He wants you to bring him your hurts, your anger, your stress, your tiredness, your weariness. He wants to be the person that you go to. And he offers it. He says, come to me. Bring me your burdens. If you're burdened or heavy laden, come to me. It is our job to respond. Let me tell you, it has never been God who has denied you to come to him. It has always been us who have refused. Instead, we want to go to our friends. Instead, we want to even go to our parents. Again, those are great things to do, especially parents. Maybe not so much friends, depending on who your friends are. But man, we should not go there before we go to God. God should be our first stop of bringing him these things. Man, test him. He says, I will give you transcendent rest. Test him. Give him those anxieties, those anxious thoughts, those hurts, those angers. Bring him your burdens. And lastly, give God control. Give God control. I think something funny probably happened in this room. You heard me say, give God control, and you probably thought anything but this thing. Or, well, God doesn't want control of this area of my life. Or God doesn't want control of this relationship. Or God doesn't really want control of my phone usage or my language or my, I can give God control of everything else, but me and my friends, we have this really funny joke about this one person, and I can't give him control of that. Or it's not that big of a deal. Give God control of it all. Listen to me. He wants control of it all. And when he has control of every situation in your life, it is better for you. God is never going to do anything when you give him control that's going to be bad for you. May not be what you like. May not be what you would have done. But I promise, it will be good. I want to do this real quick. When we talk about giving God control, a lot of you might say, well, I want to give God control, but I don't know what he wants me to do in a certain situation. Like, man, sometimes I pray to God, but like, I don't hear an answer back. I want to give you 2 ways for you to constantly and be invested in God's control, of like letting him have control, of knowing what he wants you to do in a certain situation. And it's really easy and it's really simple. It's 2 things. A, read your Bible, and B, pray. Now, here's the thing. Some of you might go, Nate, that's awesome. I don't know how to do those things. Nobody's shown me. We have this in the back for you, and we're actually going to have it on a table. Joel, can you actually take them off that black shelf and put them on the table for me? It is a year walkthrough of a Bible reading plan of telling you, here's what you need to read. And then it is a helpful guide of how to pray. Listen, if you are interested in taking your faith serious, you need to be reading your Bible, and we want to give you a way to do that. And you also need to be praying, and we want to give you instruction on how to do that. So that is going to be on one of those black tables, or it'll be on your way out. If you want one of those, man, stop and grab one. If you want one for you and your friend, stop and grab one. Take advantage of that. All right, now let's close. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different on our last closing. My leaders are going to be passing something out. It's going to be 2 things. One, it's going to be these little Jesus figures, and I'm going to tell you why. I know some of you are like, I get a little Jesus figure. Yes, you do. And the second is going to be the summer calendar so that you can have that, put it on your fridge, give it to your parents, put it where you're going to see it. All right. I know that a lot's going on right now, but I'm going to need you just to look up. Here's what I want you to do with the Jesus figure. A, I want you to take it home, right? I want you to put the Jesus figure somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Maybe it's in your bathroom. Maybe it's on your dresser. Maybe it's in the kitchen. Maybe it's in the fridge. All right, hey, real quick. Hey, lock in just for the, I promise I'm going to pray and we're going to be done, okay? I promise. But I need you to lock in. When you see the Jesus figure, I want you to pray this prayer. It's very short. Go ahead and throw it up there for me. God, give me rest from blank. Take my burdens and give me yours. God, give me rest from blank. Take my burdens and give me yours. I want you to have rest. God wants you to have rest. In order to do that, A, we have to give him our burdens, and B, we have to take on his, which is to follow his instruction, which is to follow what he wants for us. Hey, we're going to be closing a little bit differently. Here's what's going to happen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Praise you.